The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
I signed with the Rad Squad in 2011, that summer. You signed at the back of a smoke pack. Roddy, I would say, is like the Irish Harry.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
The OTB Podcast Network with Get Set Go. Car insurance is boring, but saving money bounces it into brilliance. Enter promo code SPORT and save €40 off your car insurance with GetSetGo.ie.
Let's get into this. It is our Euro cheat sheet, Group E. Poland is next, and we need our 90-second timer because you're going to take it away.
Let's do it. So, Poland are looking to build on their performance in Euro 2016 when they got out of a group at the Euros for the first time in their history. After a more routine group stage exit at the 2018 World Cup, they lost just one game in qualifying for this tournament. But do not be fooled by that record. They were extremely mediocre, finishing top of an easy group involving Austria and North Macedonia. Last November, after a defeat to Italy in the Nations League, Robert Lewandowski was asked about his national manager, Jerzy Bzeszek, and the tactics he employed. Lewandowski stood in silence for 9 full seconds before eventually criticising the manager anyway. Needless to say, that guy on your screen is no longer the manager. They have instead brought in Paulo Sousa, who you will absolutely not remember from such things as being a former manager of QPR, Swansea and Leicester City. His main aim is to keep the star happy and to get him scoring goals. Lewandowski has only ever scored twice at a major tournament. That is 2 goals at a major tournament in 11 games, but he has scored 41 goals in 29 Bundesliga games this season. An absolutely absurd tally from Lewandowski all year long. Surely the best version we're ever going to see of him at a tournament. But please, this summer, keep in your thoughts Arkadiusz Milik and Krzysztof Piątek, 2 really good Polish strikers who have scored goals for their national team and for their club teams over the years, but will forever exist in the shadow of Lewandowski, who will inevitably play until he is 50. Piątek is injured, there he is on the right hand side, and he's not even in the squad, but no one, I think, even noticed. Anyway, let's finish up by looking at the kits. Here is the home kit. Standard white jersey with a pretty interesting collar, I think it's fair to say. And here is the away kit. The crest in the middle, I'm not sure, does it ruin it? Does it make it? I'm sure somebody has an opinion on that.
What's your opinion?
I kind of like that away jersey. I'm a traditionalist. I like my crest on my heart. But I suppose actually your heart is kind of actually more central than the crest on the left-hand side. So maybe...
Good biology knowledge there. Yeah. Just dropping it like unprompted.
My brain cells do be providing stuff on a Wednesday morning. I'm a big fan of that away jersey. I would be kissing that crest if I was Polish and scoring goals.
Okay, so the form line, mediocre?
They drew 1-1 with Russia last night, actually. And since qualifying for the Euros, they avoided relegation from League A of the Nations League, which isn't bad. They beat Bosnia and Herzegovina home and away. They survived in that league. That's all you can really ask for. Then they were drawn in England's group in World Cup qualifying. Got beaten in Wembley at the end of March, but have beaten Andorra and drawn away in Hungary. Some of the key decisions for the manager this summer is going to be in goals. We obviously know that they've been well stacked down through the years there. It's going to be Fabianski versus Szczesny. Szczesny may be more likely to get the nod, but Fabianski has been really good all season for West Ham. In defence, Jan Bednarek of Southampton is really stepping up to be a leader there. He'll slot in beside Glick. So between the two of them and their goalkeeper, they're solid at the back. And their midfield is pretty stacked, to be quite honest. When you look through some of the names, Gregor Krakowiak, formerly of West Brom and Paris Saint-Germain, will start. And his partner, Carol Linetti, is one to watch. He's a good player with Torino. And they've obviously got Matthias Klick of Leeds as well in that number 10 role behind Robert Lewandowski, who literally has the hopes of the entire nation on his back.
Like when you were going through Scotland yesterday and you're going through this now, any of these teams who have a little bit about them and some star players, those star players can get on a run, and all of a sudden these teams go through a last 16, a quarter final on penalties, and they're dangerous because these are international tournaments. Like, none of these international sides are absolutely festooned, with the exception maybe of England, with absolute superstars, and they've got a terrible manager, so they're probably not going to achieve anything. So what is your prediction?
I think they're going to finish second in this group, but they will lose in the last 16 to Croatia. But the wild card is Lewandowski. So many of these teams, it's almost like become a cliche, is that they don't have a number 9.
Well, he scores the hat-trick against Croatia, and you're not surprised, are you?
No, there you go. And like, even with Scotland yesterday, yes, they have talent. Their number 9 is going to be Shea Adams, and what I think Shea Adams is a good player. He's no Robert Lewandowski, and that is the one thing, in fairness, with England, is that they do have Harry Kane, and like, there have been fantastic number nines for England in the past that perhaps haven't been able to deliver at a tournament. Kane kind of tends to step up when it matters for England, and maybe that just isn't true considering he doesn't actually have a medal to show for it. But I think between Kane, Lewandowski and Romelu Lukaku, and of course Benzema coming back into the France fold, that position is going to be so important because there are so many teams just without a really good and reliable number nine.
Time for us to get into our second Euros cheat sheet of the morning. We need another 90-second timer. It is Slovakia.
It is Slovakia. Yes, indeed. Let's do it. So, Slovakia, they have only ever played in two tournaments as an independent nation. They made it to the round of 16 at the 2010 World Cup, and they also made it to the round of 16 at the last Euros. So, they finished third in their qualifying group for this tournament behind Croatia and Wales. But as we all know, the Nations League playoffs came along to provide the platform for qualifying. They beat the Republic of Ireland 4-2 penalties and then beat Northern Ireland after extra time. Now, a victory in a playoff match as Ireland manager might get you a statue on O'Connell Street, but in Slovakia, they sacked their manager, Pavel Hapal, 8 days after that penalty shootout win. Stefan Tarkovic is the new guy in charge of the team, and he comes into the gig with a pretty low profile, a Wikipedia page that is three sentences long, to be precise. Slovakia's midfield is looking pretty impressive in general, but Marek Hamšík is still their most notable player if you were to pick one. He has shown serious dedication to the national team and even greater dedication to that hairstyle, and he's now rather randomly playing for Gothenburg and is the biggest star in the Swedish league since Zlatan. He's gone there to get his fitness up in a summer league, basically, after China proved to be worth nothing more than an absolutely enormous wage packet, and he is back in Europe. So let's have a look at the kits. First of all, that home kit, a lot is happening in that home kit there. All of the brain power of the Slovakian kit makers clearly went into making that jersey, because if you look at the away jersey, no thought went into it at all. It is the plainest jersey in the history of the European Championships. That is your cheat sheet in Slovakia.
The plain one looks nice. The away one looks like it's a bit of a disaster. So tell me, Slovakia, any good?
They're okay. Like, they're, as I say, manager got sacked, not necessarily as a result of beating Ireland in the playoff. They lost a couple of Nations League games in that week. They got relegated to League C in the Nations League. Ireland technically in a higher place than them in the Nations League, as it turns out. Israel, Scotland, Czech Republic all finished ahead of them in that league. Then in the World Cup qualifications, they drew at Cyprus, drew at Malta, but then randomly beat Russia in their third game in qualifying, and then drew 1-1 in a friendly with Bulgaria last night. So they're not great. Now, the team that we played was a weakened version of the team that will go to the Euros. Obviously, there was a few COVID cases. The Serie A players were weirdly insulated, if you might remember. At that point, they didn't want to be travelling to and from Slovakia, from Italy at that point, but they'll have them back for the Euros. So if you go from back to front, they'll have Martin Dubravka of Newcastle in goals. They'll have Milan Skriniar back at centre-back. Obviously, he wasn't around for that Ireland game. He's been an ever-present in the Inter Milan defence all season. And really, he is Slovakia's best player. Hamšík is the most famous one, but Skriniar is their best player. Mikhail Duris scored the winner versus Northern Ireland. He's probably going to lead the line up front. And then, as I said earlier on, the midfield is everything with this team. They've got Hamšík in there, they've got Kuka in there, and they've got Stanislav Lobotka in there, the Napoli player, who got his tonsils out recently, but is back on the field of play. The most expensive Slovakian footballer in history after joining Napoli for over £20 million from Celta Vigo last year. The prediction, though, for Slovakia is that they will finish bottom of this group and go home, and that will be it from a Slovakian standpoint. It's hard. This is the one country that I'm finding it hard to make a case for an upset from their perspective. I think I'd be almost certain they finish last.
It is 7:50 this morning. Time for our first Euros cheat sheet of the day. And it is Spain, and we're going to go a little bit longer than 90 seconds, I think.
Go. Yeah, well, we'll do a 90-second round of anyway for Spain. Here we go. So it has been quite a few years for Spain at major tournaments since their all-conquering team of 08 to 2012. At the 2014 World Cup, you had Robin van Persie's diving header, showed him the exit door to group stages. In 2016, Graziano Pelle put the cherry on top of Italy's win over them in the last 16. And in 2018, Julen Lopetegui was sacked as manager 2 days before their opening game at a World Cup, a tournament which ended in defeat via penalties to Russia. So, we arrive at Luis Enrique's first tournament as Spain manager. And instead of picking the full complement of 26 players, he's gone with just 24. And of course, no Sergio Ramos. The squad's average age is, as a result, 2 years younger than the one that went to Russia. Instead of Iniesta and Diego Costa, they will now rely on players like Pedri and Ferran Torres. Ger and I both tipped Spain to win the Euros in our OTBAM crystal ball watching Torres score that hat-trick against Germany in the 6-0 Nations League win over them last December. And given their depth in midfield with Rodri, Busquets, Thiago, Koke and Pedri all competing for three spots, I'm feeling confident. Well, actually, I should say I was feeling confident. That was until I looked at the shaky goalkeeping situation in the team. That was until I looked at Aymeric Laporte and how he could be thrown straight into the deep end after abandoning France and pissing off Didier Deschamps. And that was until I looked at their main man up front. Can we really trust Alvaro Morata to fire Spain to European glory? They've been beaten by Ukraine and have drawn with Switzerland and Greece over the course of the season just gone. There are so many questions about the Spanish side, and those questions are certainly not healed by looking at this jersey. A slightly checkered look when no one asked for a slightly checkered look. And then the away jersey, perfect camouflage for an away trip to, I guess, Finland or somewhere else in the frozen tundra of Northern Europe.
Or England.
Maybe. Or England.
Camille, what is the 24 players instead of 26 thing? What the hell?
He says that you're only going to need 18 or 19. That's his reasoning for it. I presume that Sergio Ramos was player number 25. And he knew that he wasn't going to get any game time in an ideal world in this tournament. And maybe that disrupts the balance, leadership-wise, in that squad. I don't know, but Luis Enrique's kind of rationale for that, publicly anyway, is that I'm only going to need 18 or 19 players, so just need five beyond that. Strange, though. I think he's the only one, other than, obviously, the Czech manager, to not go for the full 26.
It's mad, isn't it? Even just for, like, training. When two or three players are injured, if you want to do, I don't know, that just seems very strange. And they didn't give anybody the number 15 jersey because that's Ramos's jersey.
Yeah. Like, actually, that's definitely worth mentioning. Like, you look at other defensive players that are missing from the squad. Like, I mean, as I mentioned, the goalkeeping situation is a bit shaky. Kepa's not in the squad. Sergi Roberto, Sergi Reguilón's not in the squad. Hector Bellerin, Jesus Navas, Danny Carvajal. Obviously, now that's not necessarily a defender, but those are a couple of the names that have come up as players who might have been a decent number 25, 26, as you say, for those in-game training sessions. So they've left big names at home. Enrique not afraid to make his point and make a decision. And I don't know, maybe he's done his thing or his due diligence of going around and talking to all the different stakeholders involved in Spanish football, finding out why it has been such a disaster over the last little while, and what has gone wrong at tournaments. I'm sure that's what happens. Almost like the Irish rugby team, trying to find out what went wrong in that industrial estate in France in 2007. Maybe Enrique is doing the exact same thing at the moment, and maybe having your player number 25 and your player number 26 being these legends of the team who are never going to play just upsets the squad. So I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt at the moment, but that's until obviously the whole thing blows up in their face in a few weeks, and he will definitely just get the blame, and this whole 24-man squad thing will get the blame, even though they might not get any injuries at all.
Yeah, Sergio Ramos, I think, has played one league game since January, so it wasn't completely ridiculous to leave him out. What is your prediction here? How are they going to play? Who should we be looking out for, and where? How deep are they going to go?
I think they're on the top of their group if we start with that, but I think they'll lose in the quarterfinal to Portugal. So just to go through the draw. So obviously Poland, Sweden, Slovakia is their group. So they got a handy enough group draw. I think they will top that group. And then their last 16 draw is going to be against Austria, I reckon. So then it'll be a European Championships quarterfinal against the winner of England against Portugal. And I've already said that Portugal are going to win that, so I better stick to my guns. And I think Portugal will take Spain this summer. When it comes to some of the other things, like you asked there, how are they going to play? It's going to be a 4-3-3. If we start at the back and the goalkeeping situation, like, it's going to be David De Gea versus Unai Simon, who is a 23-year-old with Athletic Bilbao. I've read yesterday that Robert Sanchez is going to start versus Portugal in a friendly on Friday. It's the Brighton goalkeeper. You don't start a guy in a friendly against Portugal literally 7 days out from the tournament beginning, unless he's in the mix as well. So I make this a three-horse race. De Gea, Unai Simon and Robert Sanchez all going for that goalkeeper jersey. That is not nailed down at the moment. The centre-back partnership is possibly going to be Aymeric Laporte and Pau Torres. Their backup there is Eric Garcia, who's also in the squad. Again, without Ramos, that position looks shaky. At full-back, the left-back position is going to be between Alba and Gaia. Gaia, the 26-year-old with Valencia, who's had a really good season on form, he gets the pick. But I just wonder if, with two relatively inexperienced centre-backs and a potentially inexperienced goalkeeper, you just go with Alba as your left-back. And then at right-back, I just wonder, do they go for someone like Cesar Azpilicueta, who has not played for Spain since 2018, but surely given the form he's shown and being a Champions League winner, he gets into the mix in some shape or form when it comes to the starting 11. If it's not going to be him, do you look at Llorente potentially, who's not a natural fullback playing in that position, so maybe he's helped there. So that's how the backs are looking. As I say, when it comes to the midfield, the six players that I've already mentioned going for three spots is ridiculously strong. But if I was to call it, I think Busquets is going to start because he's captain of the squad and he might start ahead of Rodri. And then Koke plays all the time in this team, so he'll be in. And then Pedri's been so good all season, it's very hard to leave him out, but he'll be battling with Thiago for that other position in midfield. So there's no worries about the Spanish midfield. That is set. And then up front, as I mentioned, through the middle, Alvaro Morata, potentially a problem. Gerard Moreno is going to be the other option there. Like, Moreno scored 23 goals in a Liga for Villarreal this season. Morata scored 11 goals for Juventus this season. Maybe you just go with Gerard Moreno and that's it. You just go with the guy in form. You're going to have Ferran Torres in that front three, who's scored a hat-trick against Newcastle a couple of months ago, but other than that, hasn't got a huge wealth of opportunities under Pep Guardiola all season, but has obviously shown ridiculous talent for Spain. And then on the left, finally, it's going to be Dani Olmo versus Oyarzabal, and Olmo's got 5 goals and 10 assists for Leipzig this season. Potentially more of a midfielder, and then Oyarzabal, kind of just the only natural left winger in the squad with Sociedad this season, he probably starts. There's a load of holes that you can pick in this Spain squad. Why exactly we tipped them at the start of the year to win this thing, I think we got carried away on the crest of a wave that this Spanish team that hammered Germany last year are ready now. They will be, but I think maybe 2024 will be their time. I think even Qatar 2022 could come a little bit soon for some of these players.
And the rest of the form not good enough as a national side? Like, bear in mind, a good team in international football will take you very far.
So we need to separate form from their qualifying record. They were awesome in qualifying. There's no getting away from that. They were unbeaten in a group which wasn't one of these gimme groups. Like, they had Norway and they had Sweden. They scored 31 goals. They conceded 5 goals. And when we get to the Nations League then, which is a better barometer, they did in fairness top their Nations League group. That was the campaign in which they hammered Germany. They had that loss to Ukraine, and that was the one defeat in that. In the World Cup qualifiers though, since then, they've drawn 1-1 with Greece. They needed a 92nd minute winner to beat Georgia. Aidan McGeady will tell you all about that. And then they beat Kosovo 3-1 in their only win so far tomorrow night. Against Portugal, that'll be a game that a lot of people will be watching. That'll be a real indicator of where they're at. But their World Cup qualification form has not been amazing, and this is a young squad. It's hard to make a case that they'll go all the way. So a quarterfinal exit.
Okay, Euros cheat sheet with Spain in the bag. OTBAM live in association with Gillette. Good morning. Start with Gillette, giving you the confidence to tackle the day ahead. It is time for our second Euros cheat sheet of the day. If we can have our 90-second timer, it is going to be Sweden.
It is going to be Sweden, yes. So it is their 6th consecutive European Championships, and in 4 of the past 5 tournaments, they've been knocked out in the group stages. In their most recent tournaments, in general, they finished bottom of Ireland's group in Euro 2016. Hat tip, Wes Houlihan. They went on to make the quarterfinals of the 2018 World Cup after topping Germany's group and beating Switzerland in the last 16. But it was England and Dele Alli who beat them in the quarterfinals. Sweden were also in Spain's qualifying group and finished 2nd ahead of Norway and Romania. The only game they lost was in Madrid, so all in all, they were doing okay for themselves. But tired of copying and pasting Chuck Norris jokes and passing them off as his own, Zlatan Ibrahimovic got bored of international retirement and came out of retirement for this Euros. However, a knee injury has now ruled him out of the tournament, which means we will all have to find some meaning for our existence now that we can't have Zlatan in our lives. Whatever shall we do? There is plenty of experience still in the squad though. Seb Larsson is still going at the age of 35, as is former Blackburn and Norwich fullback Martin Olsen, who is 33. In amongst the Owl lads though, there is plenty of good young talent in this Sweden side. Alexander Isak is 21 years old, scored 17 goals for Real Sociedad in the league this season, while Dejan Kulusevski was signed for Juventus last summer for over 30 million euro. He has struggled this season though, but he is only 21, so still on the way up. And then of course there is Jordan Larsson, son of Henrik. He'll probably get some game time off the bench, but netted 15 league goals for Spartak Moscow over the course of the last season and comes into the tournament in good form. And finally, for the best part, let's have a look at those Sweden jerseys. The home kit is just perfect. I will not hear a bad word said about that. And then the away jersey is the greatest jersey in the history of the European Championships. I said earlier in this series that I haven't a clue what constitutes a good jersey and a bad jersey. I retract those comments immediately because I have seen the light. I have had my awakening. I would marry that jersey.
Wow. Why?
Look at it. Open your eyes.
Go on.
Look at it.
Explain it to me.
Oh, look how nice it is.
Shiny.
The pinstripes and blue, yellow.
For the radio listeners, I want to give them an explainer.
Oh yeah, let me explain it to the radio listeners. It's got pinstripes and it's blue and it's yellow. It's got a crest on one side and an Adidas crest on the other side. It is so nice. Do you not think that's like amazing?
I mean, Scotland had the exact same jersey at some point when in the 80s. Willie Miller, that's what I remember.
No yellow in that though.
There was no yellow in it. There was not. No yellow.
Just
fair enough.
Pops off the screen on it.
Okay, so you're back in Sweden. You want they're your team now.
I should be actually, yeah. I should be. I think, you know what, I think they're a half decent team to get on the bandwagon of. It, like, don't get me wrong, it would be more fun if Zlatan Ibrahimovic was there this summer. Like, I mean, a little bit of shade there in the 90 seconds, but I mean, we all wanted to see Zlatan play, like, especially at the age of at 39. I think they're going to be a team that you can legitimately bandwagon. Like, they're going to come third in this group,
okay.
I reckon, but they will get out of it. And then, like, on the evidence of last night, I suspect that it'll be a last 16 against the Netherlands. Like, did Sweden get the quarterfinals and back-to-back tournaments? Like,
yeah.
Potentially. Like, I mean, it's a good team that they've got. Like, in terms of their more recent form, they've got relegated from the top tier of the Nations League. France, Portugal and Croatia was their group, though. So I think we can write that off when it comes to form, a group of death. In qualifying, then, for World Cup, they were in Spain's group again in World Cup qualifying. So European qualifiers, European group stages, World Cup qualifiers, they're playing Spain all the time. They've beaten Georgia and Kosovo already in that group. So the form is about the same as Spain's coming into this. Just a quick run through some of the other players. The goalkeeping position is going to be Robin Olsen. He's the guy who gave Jordan Pickford a bit of trouble in goals for Everton over the last little while. It was number one there for a period of time this season. At the heart of their defence, they've got Victor Lindelof. Say what you will about Victor Lindelof, he's got 40 international caps and maybe gets a better version of himself at international level. Beside him is going to be Marcus Danielson. He's still playing in China. The China League is still a thing, by all accounts. He's going to be a centre-back partner. I mentioned Kulusevski, who is going to be running the midfield for them. Their top scorer in qualifying was Robin Quaison, who plays for Mainz. He scored 5 goals in the qualification, but it looks like he's not going to be starting. It's going to be an old-fashioned 4-4-2. And one player who I haven't mentioned is Emil Forsberg, who's a little bit of a Jesse Lingard for me, like the oldest wunderkind in the world. He's 29 years of age at this point, Emil Forsberg, been an ever-present for Leipzig all season. So it's a good team. It will be better with Zlatan in it, but they've got a chance of causing an upset. They're going to finish third in their group, qualify as one of the best qualifiers, but I would still just give the edge to the Netherlands in that last 16 game.
The Euro 92 Sweden team is one of the most enjoyable football teams in international football history. That tournament in Euro 92 was a sensational tournament, and I can't wait until they do the Euros recaps on Saturdays with JD, and I'm really looking forward to that, because when that comes, I think that tournament will rightly be excavated as one of the great international football tournaments in history, and yet probably underrated because Denmark win it. It's like, it's funny that way, isn't it? It's like, oh, it didn't have one of the superpowers winning, so therefore not a great tournament. But actually, imagine what that would be like now.
I think that was, ridiculous. But I think that was Sweden's first ever European Championships as well. Like, obviously in the 30s and the 50s, they have these amazing World Cup runs. Obviously, they host the World Cup in 1958, so that helped them. But they had this strange thing with European Championships where it was just failure to qualify.
Right.
So they get into this A-team tournament, as we know, with Euro 88. It was just such a hard thing to qualify for. And they go in their home tournament again in 92, in fairness. But they topped their group. They topped the group involving Denmark, France and England. And into the semi-finals, they obviously lose their semi-final in the end. But because Denmark is such a big story when it comes to Euro 92, we sometimes forget that the whole Sweden were a bloody good side. And it was an 88-minute goal. It was two late goals. Sorry, it was 2-1 to Germany, and then there was an 88-minute goal, an 89-minute goal in that semi-final that got Germany into the final, where they ultimately lose, obviously.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on. That is the Euros cheat sheet. Your prediction is that they're going to beat the Dutch and get through to the quarterfinals?
No. I think Netherlands will beat them.
Okay.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetsetGo. Quick Start Car Insurance that's ready when you are. Sort your policy anytime online at GetsetGo.ie.